The Ryan Tubridy Show on RTE Radio 1, sponsored by Sky Broadband. With our broadband, your world is limitless. Live beyond.
And a very good morning to you all. This is Ryan Tubridy on Monday morning. It is the 13th of January, 2020, and we're here till 10 o'clock. The text number 51551, and you can email ryan@rte.ie. We have a busy show for you today, because by the end of the week, one of you will be sent off to New York City to watch Riverdance at Radio City Hall. It's a massive, massive prize, as well as daily prizes to go and see a big anniversary gala show in the Three Arena. I'll give you more details later. Don't get busy on that just yet. Also, one of the great Irish authors, Marita Conlon McKenna, who many of us will have read down through the years as, among other things, the author of Under the Hawthorn Tree or Wildflower Girl or The Blue Horse. But she has a new book. It's for adults. It's called The Hungry Road. I've been reading it all weekend, and we have much to discuss on the famine story and history, broadly speaking. And we'll get into that a little later on. Brian Redmond from Dancing with the Stars, the grumpy judge, whose opinion we look forward to hearing on a Sunday night. He's going to be joining us live in studio this morning to see what's happening on Dancing with the Stars as of last night, which was most enjoyable because the gals were dancing, and we'll have plenty on that. I was thrilled. I know it sounds strange things. I was very, very pleased to see the Stormont executive regrouping and reformed and sitting over the weekend. It's a strange thing how you can become so engaged in what's happening on the island, and to the extent that when Tommy Gorman told us about what was happening there, I was just very, very pleased on Friday evening to see positivity and hope and light. 3 years is a long time, and every time over the 3 years I saw vox pops on the streets of Belfast, wherever it might be, people were just fed up, and they were just, they're despondent. And you know, they deserve so much better after all the decades of difficulty, let's call it that for now, that they've been through. But to see a positive development, and to see, you know, Arlene Foster and Michelle O'Neill and now First Minister, Deputy First Minister, there's a sense of can do, will do, and on they go. And I know that the British Prime Minister is going to be there today. I presume our own Taoiseach is going to be there today. I thought Simon Coveney was exceptional in his handling of the whole thing, as was his counterpart in Britain. And it was just a sense of politics, proper politics, done well, which was great. We obviously have an election coming down the tracks. I love elections. I absolutely gorge on them. I mean, to me, an Irish general election is the All-Ireland final, you know, and the US presidential election is my Olympics. So this is the way I'll be watching it all. The posters, the tallies, the sophologists, the analysis. Love it, every bit of it. So we have an election coming up, we'll see. Listening to the Taoiseach talking to David McCullough yesterday reminded me a little bit of the guy or the girl who used to come into school when you were younger and say, "Lads, I heard something mad." "Go on, what was it?" "Can't say." "Why? What do you mean you can't say?" "I can't say. They'll kill me. I can't. "Ah, yeah, but you just, why would you even bother saying you heard something brilliant when you can't say?" And you know, people like that, the same kind of carry on can happen sometimes. And I'm not relating this in any way to politics, but when somebody might come online, and I hear this because I'm not on Facebook, I don't see it, or indeed on any of the other big online things, but somebody come on and go, "Having a terrible morning," and then all the friends come on and go, "Oh, what's wrong? Are you okay, hon? Okay, babe?" You know, and then they go, "Can't say." And go, "Oh, either you're going to tell us or you're not going to tell us, but don't be half telling us." Anyway, that's just dawned on me, but we'll find out today. That's just my impatience rather than anything else. It'll be the 7th or the 14th of February, which means that we'll have either the Valentine's Day massacre or the week before, which will be probably more civilised affair. So I hope all your weekends were splendid and happy. I went to see a movie over the weekend in the cinema called Jojo Rabbit. And I don't know if you've seen, you like Jojo Rabbit. I don't know if you've seen it. It was one of those films that kept getting 2 stars or 5 stars. You know, either it just is divisive. You either liked it or you didn't like it. I loved it. And right from the very beginning, I'm not going to get into it in any great detail until you've seen it. So the lads upstairs hadn't seen it. So I'm going to wait for a few days before I kind of dwell on it. But the opening music in it with the footage, it's so cheeky and daring that I thought, I'm in. I buckle up, I'm in. And then there's music at the very end, which was spectacular use of music as well. And then there's the film. It's a little kid in the throes of World War II in Germany, and he's got an imaginary friend who happens to be Adolf Hitler. And you think, what the hell is going on here? And that's all I'm going to say to you. Go and see it. I mean, honestly, if you don't like it, we're probably not on the same bus movies-wise, and I understand that entirely. And if you loved it, let's keep going to the cinema, because it's great. So that's Jojo Rabbit, one of the most curious, intriguing little films I've seen for a long time. Was it my movie of the year? No. Did I love it? Absolutely. So that's the way it is. It's like Knives Out. It wasn't the best film I ever saw, but I really enjoyed it. So you can have the two. It's 1917 is the next film on my agenda. I cannot wait to see that. That looks spectacular. So that's for another day. Briefly, I'm just intrigued. I've never been to the Galapagos, and I believe it's amazing. And this kind of Darwinian sense of evolution and animals. But how does the evolution stay healthy and alive and well? It comes down to people, to creatures like the tortoise, who is reported in the Huffington Post today. A womanizing tortoise, if you like, whose rampant sex life may have single-handedly saved his entire species from extinction. And he's retired from his playboy lifestyle. He's returned to the wild with his mission accomplished. They call him Diego. Diego the tortoise had an unstoppable libido. And I just feel the idea of an unstoppable libido and a tortoise doesn't... Hey, everybody. Oh. You can fill in the next bit. Anyway, this absolutely libidinous tortoise, again, I can't marry the two, but that's what it is. And he's mad for the female tortoise, right? And he was credited as a major reason for the survival of his fellow giant tortoises on Española, which is part of the Galapagos Islands. He was shipped over from San Diego Zoo as part of a breeding program. So obviously in the Galapagos, does anyone know, big call out on Twitter, anyone know of a tortoise who loves the other? Like really, really need it. Anyway, he started his campaign of promiscuity. When he did, there were just 12 females of his species alive on the island. And then all hell broke loose. Diego, the unstoppable tortoise, landed. And within days, if not weeks, he had so much sex that he helped boost the population to over 2,000. What was he doing? What? He must have been wrecked. The Galapagos National Park Service believe that the tortoise, not only that, by the way, lesson to us all, he's 100. The 100-year-old libidinous tortoise on the Galapagos is the patriarch of around 40% of the population of the island. The bind moggles. All right. Now, I'm not against the odd bit of corduroy. And I know corduroy gets a bad rap, but I bought myself, I think it's fairly nice, corduroy suit not too long ago. And you might think, that sounds disgusting. That's just, it's okay. It's quite smart. And I was heartened, thrilled, and encouraged when I see that in the new James Bond film, yes, it's true. It's true. He's wearing in the trailer a corduroy suit. I'm telling you, it comes courtesy of the Italian designer Massimo Alba. Two button, sand tone suit, moss-hued coat, grey trousers. He's wearing the suit during a car chase with the mysterious Dr. Madeleine Swan, played by Léa Seydoux, and while jumping off a bridge, sans harness or parachute. And there he goes, in his corduroy suit. So just in case people think corduroy is for the fuddy-duddies or for academics who are out of touch with the fashion world, it's not true. You know, I'm just trying, in defence of a bit of corduroy, it's okay. If Bond can do it, we can all do it. And for some reason, these dodgy Sean Connery jokes started doing the rounds over the weekend. It came to my attention this morning. Like this one. And you know the way Sean Connery, sure you cannot be sure, all this sort of thing. So that's important that you get the Irish thing going on. I've got a joke, says this one, about Sean Connery's sister's baby daughter. It's a little niche. It's not bad, but it took me a second, being honest. It took me a second. Does Sean Connery like herbs? Only partially. One more and we'll leave it at this. That's enough now. It's Monday morning. We need a bit of love and life and laughter. When Sean Connery finally received his make your own glove puppet kit, it came as a shock. All right, so now 51551 is the text number. I saw Jojo Rabbit in Cinema Ryan. I think it was one of the best movies I've ever seen. Good comedy. There you are now. I know, took my 15 and 12-year-old daughters to see Jojo Rabbit. Absolutely bonkers, but we loved it and spent all weekend discussing it and singing Bowie in German, which makes sense when you've seen it. Patrick in Athenry says, nice to hear a tortoise getting out of his shell. Go Diego. Indeed. It was a tough shell. And another one says, been to the Galapagos a few years, a trip of a lifetime, saw those gigantic tortoises get up to all sorts of antics, albeit slow antics. Their body, their bodies and leathery skin kind of creak into action. Okay, that's probably a bit too much detail, but they get the job done, it would seem. Go Diego, says Kat. So a lot of love for the tortoise. Bob wants to know, does a libidinous tortoise outshell the opposition? And I think there's a, yeah, we could be here all day with those gags. So let's just keep going. We've too much to be discussing. We'll take a little bit of music at 9:15 Monday morning, open for business. That's Jake Bug and Lightning Bolt at 9:17. 51551 is the text number. And Bernie says, I always say that I'm coming back in the next life as a dog or a horse, but now that you've enlightened me, I'm definitely coming back as a tortoise. Okay, well, just make sure you get the right species of tortoise, you know, genre, if you like, because I don't know if they all have the same expectations in life, shall we say. If the US election, says the text, is your Olympics, unfortunately, the other teams haven't been able to put up a good opposition, which is a sad state of affairs. Trump is home and dry. I think the Irish election is more interesting this time, though. There will be some great battles. A game changer. Sunny South East listener. Thank you for that. And finally, Dean Kildare says, watch The Two Popes. Yep, been recommending that a lot with my husband yesterday after dinner in front of a lovely log fire with a glass of wine. It was such an enjoyable watch and the casting was spot on. What a wonderful insight into both of those men, particularly Francis and everything he had to endure during his life. A wonderful film and totally worth the watch. I'm glad you enjoyed it as much as I did. Let me tell you, that on February 9th, 1995, Riverdance, the show, premiered at the Point Theatre in Dublin. And what a show it was. The 7-minute Eurovision interval act performance, which has wowed TV audiences across the world, had become a full-length stage show. And from there set out on a journey, as they say here sometimes, that would see it tour the globe and achieve worldwide acclaim. Now, to date, Riverdance has been performed over 12,160 times. It's been seen live by over 27.5 million people in 546 venues worldwide. But it's coming home to celebrate 25 years with five performances from the 6th to the 9th of February at the Three Arena. Exactly 25 years to the day since Riverdance first performed at the Point Theatre in 1995. You are getting a chance all week on the programme to win tickets to a special gala performance in the Three Arena on the 9th of February, to the very day. And every day this week, we have two tickets to give away to one lucky listener to that gala performance. But it doesn't stop there, because the winners will go into a draw for a trip to New York City. And that is going to be a trip to New York to see Riverdance 25 at Radio City Music Hall on Tuesday, the 10th of March, 2020. How exciting will that be? The prize includes return flights from Dublin to New York on Monday, the 9th of March, and returning from New York to Dublin on Thursday, the 12th of March. It's a lovely run of days in New York. Three nights in a double room at the Sheraton Manhattan Times Square Hotel. And all you have to do is give us a call now, 1850-715-900, and answer as many questions around the year 1995 as you can in 1 minute. It's one hell of a prize, so get busy.